I remember in secondary school,
yeah,
one of my friends even said this to me. It's a comment I'll never forget that she said, but she said to me when we were changing after pee and that we were in the bathrooms, there was mirrors. She was like, "You're actually really pretty, you know, you're really pretty, but your body doesn't match." And I was like, I didn't even know how to receive it. It was meant to be like...
Hey everyone, and welcome to another podcast episode. I am Renee, your host for I Am Beautiful Talks, and today we are joined with the lovely Naila and Jasmine.
Hello.
I'll give you guys like a maybe 10 second just who you are and what you guys do. I know the majority of people probably know you now on social media, okay, especially amidst, you know, the post as of recently, with UK Gossip TV. But you guys, tell us who you are and then let's get into some interesting
Okay, so I go first. So my name's Naila Riley. I am a qualified personal trainer, fitness enthusiast, and I'm also a nursery teacher as well. So I dabble and dabble in a few things.
No way.
I'm a nursery teacher. I work weekdays, nursery teacher, and then I juggle training clients and stuff like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really, really rewarding job. It's very nice, and it definitely has taught me how to love and just, you know, children, you have to bring good energy, good vibes to them. So that's kind of why I'm just so all the time just wanting to spread love and just be happy and that kind of stuff.
It makes sense.
Energy crew.
Wow, nice. Okay, and Jasmine, go for it.
Yeah, so I am a community empowerment specialist. So I run projects in my community, a lot of girls groups, a lot of working with moms as well. But by profession, I am a hairstylist and skin therapist.
We can tell.
See the baby hairs.
I specialise in creative hairstyle and natural hair care as well.
Wicked.
And I'm a mother of two children, two little girls.
Beautiful kids. Wow. Well, I'm shocked by what you guys are saying because I didn't know half of this, but this is good. So as you guys know, we're all about, you know, empowerment. We're all about being confident in who you are, making sure that you're aware as well of who you profess to be and just being the person you want to be in society. But if we just take it back just maybe a little bit to like childhood, everyone who's watching this, I know if you guys are from the UK, we all have to do PE at school.
Yes.
Whether you want to do cross country or not, you have to do it. Whether you want to do PE lessons, you have to do it. Do you guys feel like you were always into fitness, or was this something that's come out as of recent? How did you get into it?
Do you know what? I've always really been very fit and athletic, even from young, from like primary to secondary to college. I was in basketball team, netball team, athletics team, football for a little bit as well. I would go to dance school and do dance lessons and stuff like that. So I've always been active, keeping fit. I recently just started riding my bike again as well, which is completely throwing it back to the days where I used to ride around my neighborhood. I used to always be around on my bike. So I've always been pretty much quite fit. It's only when I started to get to probably about second year college, uni, I started being more involved in like my friends and going out and that kind of stuff. So the fit side kind of went away. Then when I was in uni, I found fitness and gym, and I really started taking care of myself. And that's when I really started pushing this fitness thing like properly.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Jasmine, what about you?
I was actually having this conversation today, me and Naila, because I was like, I remember secondary school, I used to always be playing netball. My mum lives in West London, like Ladbroke Grove, so there was like the football pitches at the end of the road, so always playing football, into dancing, used to go to like a lot of the dance clubs and stuff. But that was primary school. Secondary school, I had an injury in like my leg and my hip, so it restricted me from doing like any physical movement.
Was that from fitness or something separate to this?
So the actual injury itself is like a football related injury. Like only I think it's like 1 in 10,000 footballers get it. I'm not a footballer. I wasn't a footballer. No.
I mean, you must have been.
It literally, the injury that happened was just common amongst common-ish amongst footballers. So when I had my injury, when I was about 12, year 8 it was, I didn't do any PE, nothing from year 8 up until a couple years ago, really.
No way.
Literally, I was really restricted with my movement, my hip. And
did you have to do like physiotherapy or anything?
Yeah, I had to go to physiotherapy. In the end, they put like metal in my hip and my leg just to like hold everything together. Yeah. So even this fitness whole, this whole journey has really been getting to know my body, understand my body. Yeah. And just pushing that, you know, doctors and whatever put a limitation on me. And I put a limitation on myself.
Yeah.
As a child, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just been a big, interesting journey of just getting to know my body and understand what I can do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
My gosh, usually sometimes when people go through some kind of injury, that's it. We don't hear from them again or they kind of just backpedal.
Yeah,
but for you to go through something
which
massively affects fitness, full stop, and to keep going is... I mean, it's telling of who you are as well. Yeah, that's great. I mean,
yes, thank you for your time.
Honestly, speaking of though, obviously going back again, teenage years, now linking it into things such as like self-love and self-confidence. How do you guys think that was molded around that time? Do you feel as though you were quite conscious of how you were physically? Or do you think it was something which, I mean, it never occurred to you throughout those, you know, younger years? What do you guys think?
Around like, I would say primary school and younger, it didn't really occur to me because I don't think people really focus on those things.
Yeah.
Like you're just enjoying being a child and being young.
Yeah.
But then when I got to secondary school, I started realizing that I was bigger than a lot of people, not even just in size, but height as well. And then hands, the size of my hands, the size of my feet. So I started realizing certain stuff about myself. And around those times, I can't really say I got much attention from males either, because I went to a predominantly white school, so I kind of just kind of faded into the background, which is a bit crazy because when people see me now and how like loud and outgoing I am, it's like, where does she come from? But I've always had it, I've always had it in me, but it's like, it's a side I only showed to, I guess, people that I was really close with and like around quite a lot. But secondary school, I started to have insecurities, and college as well, I started to be quite insecure about my size. As I said, I've always been bigger, so it's just been something that, especially when people would point it out and stuff like that as well, it's something that could definitely affect my self-worth. And then experiences that I would have with, let's say, guys over the years as well, it definitely had an impact on my self-love as well, because I feel like I didn't really know my worth. Like, I knew I was, like, let's say, attractive because people would tell me, but whether I generally believed it and felt it inside that, you know what, I am beautiful, I'm a queen, I'm strong, I'm powerful, all those things, I can't say I knew that since young. And that's why I really like to promote fitness to women, especially because it started with me going gym, but then from me going gym, I started to invest a lot more time. It's an investment.
This
I started
is it.
To invest a lot more time in growing, not even just physically but mentally, having a good mentality and perspective on life in general. And then when I started to really change those things and how I viewed myself, that's when I can say I really started to see like a shift in my life, and like even the type of people I was surrounded by and certain things like that. So
that makes a massive difference.
I feel like it's so important to surround yourself with people who are on the same wavelength as you and who are aligned with your vision and your purpose as well, which is how I feel like me and Jasmine have been able to become so close, because there's definitely an alignment there, and we definitely kind of have the same vision in terms of really being true to yourself as well and shining in your light, but also spreading that love. Because once you, I see it as, once you have love for yourself, it's then your, not your job, but your purpose to spread that to other people, to kind of make them want to love themselves more and other people more as well.
So true. So. And even when you get to that stage, it almost doesn't feel like a job either.
Because
it's almost
oozing
out of you.
It's natural. It just comes.
Give it.
Like, it's like when you're generally happy and you have joy inside of yourself, you just want to just sprinkle it around. Like, you just want to sprinkle it around to everyone. So
So you've had a bit of a mix. So you started off confident, should I say, knowing, like, you know, everyone's in the same boat. No one really cares who looks like who, green hair, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then when you get to secondary school, you're
I was hit with reality when it was like...
Secondary school, as well, like, you know, in school, children can be pretty mean.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
And
yes.
I was a big girl, like, from school days, I was, like, very overweight. So people would say things about my body, but as a child, you're just there doing up childhood. Yeah, like, what do you know? What do you know about love handles and this and that as a child? You don't know. You're just there and you're just yourself. It's when people start addressing certain things, and especially like if males are making certain comments and stuff like that, that's when you become like, oh, okay, like aware, okay. Do you know what I mean?
But, this is what's different about me. I remember in secondary school, one of my friends even said this to me. It's a comment I'll never forget that she said, but she said to me when we were changing after pee and that we were in the bathrooms, there was mirrors. She was like, you're actually really pretty, you know? You're really pretty, but your body doesn't match. And I was like, I didn't even know how to receive it because it was...
I'm sorry.
It was meant to be like my genuine friend. Wow. And the way that just hit me was just like the fact that it was coming from a friend. And I generally believe that she didn't feel like she was being like shady or like bullying in any sort of way. She was just like sharing her opinion. But it was like for someone that already struggled with, you know, that self-confidence, especially about my body and my image, it was a bit like, so are you trying to say that like, not that I'm a lost cause, but that it's like you could have been this, but because, I mean, you're set like this and you look like this, it's like you're not reaching your potential. It's not enough, exactly. So even the little comments like that and the things that, you know, people would say as kids, we are kids. And I know that they don't even, someone when they're expressing that, they might not even understand how much is going to impact that person.
Yeah.
But yeah, secondary school was definitely like a wake-up call for me in terms of, let's say, how society viewed me and how things worked in society in terms of popularity. As I said, because I was an ethnic minority around those times especially, it was like there wasn't many people I felt like I could connect with or be around as well. People wasn't, you know, rushing to hang out with me and being around me. So I feel like all of that stuff, I don't let it get me down because I see it as character building. I feel like that was meant to show me and teach me a lesson about, you know, about how cruel and the harsh reality of life, but also how important it is to just really stand true to who you are and not let necessarily your surroundings impact, let's say, how you feel about yourself and just, you know, shine in your own light and just be true to who you are. And I feel like, as I said, once I really started just being true to myself, that's when I felt a shift in my self-confidence and love and esteem and all of those things.
I can't get over that comment.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's crazy. I promise you years ago, but I never
forgot. Were you still friends with her?
No, I'm not friends with her anymore. No, I was friends with her. This was my friend.
School, you don't know
and
as well.
In my school, there wasn't many black girls. So like I didn't have a lot of options anyway. So it's like I just had to roll with it. It definitely stuck with me.
How did this then start to play a part in your early adult experiences then? The idea of navigating between, okay, I'm now becoming a bit more confident in who I am. You've gone through the phase of, okay, people are second guessing whether I'm beautiful or not. How did this start merging into early adult life?
When I became an adult, I just decided that I wasn't going to care. Like, I'm not going to let you can't expect that everyone in life is going to love you. It's a bit unrealistic. Like, there's always going to be people where you might not be their cup of tea. Like, see how me and Anna, Jasmine have so much energy. That for some people, you know, might be too much for them. But it's not about my outlook on life. It's not about pleasing them. It's about pleasing myself and being true to myself and being happy. So when I just started to think, I just don't care about what other people think. I don't care if you don't like my body. I like my body. I've learned to love my body. So if you don't like it, I guess you don't have to look at me or see me. So once I started to think like that, it kind of really boosted my confidence, especially as well, because I just decided that I was going to do me.
Yeah. What about you, Jess?
I was going to say, like, for me, one of the mottos that I applied into my early stages of adulthood and just that womanhood was, because I struggled a lot with my self-esteem and actually being a confident woman. Like, people say to me, you're so confident, da, da, da. But deep down, like, confidence, I feel like, is a hat. You can wear that hat. 100%. Do you know what I mean? But when you look in the mirror stripped down with bare face, without the whatever, because I used to hide behind a lot of weave and braids and whatever, and makeup. Like, I started to just tell myself every single day that I'm beautiful. At first, I didn't even believe it. Yeah. Like, I'd look in the mirror and be like, raw, like, you're actually dead. Like, I believed in my heart, like, this is the level of insecurities that I had, like, and especially I think because when you've been in like toxic relationships and certain males trying to like crush you down, so I just started confessing every day using the power of my tongue.
I remember I started
a new course, like a barbering and hairdressing course, and I said I'm going to start that course with no makeup. No, nothing. No one don't know me there, so they're not going to ask me if I'm ill.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. So you know? Like, so I just went through and I said, you know what? I'm going to own myself. I'm going to love myself. Even, I believe in the power of the tongue. Like, the tongue is so many seeds. So I said, even though I don't believe this statement now that I am beautiful, what I'm going to do is declare it, use the power of my tongue, exercise the power that lays in my tongue until I start to actually believe in this statement.
Well.
Yeah, and feel it. And then over time, it was like, yo, yes, man, I love a bit of me. Hello. Yes,
honestly, it's a hard journey. That's the thing. Like you said, you can put on a face of confidence, and deep down, you're.
I feel like I love. You know, I was like that for a good while. I could definitely, because I'm someone who would. I entertain people. I like to. I've got big personality, so I'm always doing the most. I'm always moving around or whatever. And sometimes I would do all of that, and you know, you deep it when you do get a lot of compliments from people. They're saying, "Wow, how do you have so much confidence?" And you're thinking, "Sis, you don't even know what's going on behind closed doors." But not that it's not just a facade, because literally, just like Jasmine said, I see it as law of attraction and manifesting as well. Like, I really push those things out, telling yourself daily affirmations, self-love affirmations, those kind of things, and that you keep feeding it to your spirit. You feed it to your spirit, and generally, you will start to see it. You will start to believe it as well. So.
Yeah, I agree. 100% agree. Power of the tongue is just,
it's powerful. It's very
powerful. If only people knew. If only people knew. Touching back, Jasmine, on your comment you made about relationships and obviously entering a stage of maybe being around toxic men or toxic guys, should I say. Can you tell us a bit more about this? Because I know you've got things on social media in regards to things that you're involved in with domestic violence. But for those of you, for those of us, should I say, that may not know your story, can you tell us a bit?
In a nutshell, I was caught up in like the cycle of abuse. My relationship, so I've got two daughters. My first daughter's dad, like, I feel like that really set the tone for me. Like, it was quite unhealthy. We was young as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're young, and touching back on what we're taught in school, you're not taught in school that you're valued, that you're loved, that you should be treated a certain way, and these are the red flags, warning signs. We're not taught all of that. So you can walk into something very naive, very blind, and just seeking that validation in man. Do you know what I mean? So that's where I was. And my relationship with my daughter's dad, it turned physically, so it ended up in that physical abuse. And that one time of him being physical towards me was enough for me to just leave West London and move to Essex. By God's grace. But that actually, because that set the tone, like, that was my first relationship. Got a child with, do you know what I mean? So then I found myself just with toxic men, like abusive men, whether the abuse was physical or not. It was like, the whole aggression, I would attract a lot of like aggressive, angry guys that didn't actually have the capacity for like me as a person, that always try to suppress me or, you know, just try and stop me from actually soaring and flapping my wings and just being me. Obviously now I've done a lot of watering, a lot of fueling myself, a lot of self-analyzation as well, because even for a woman, when you do find yourself in these cycles with these kind of men, as a woman, it's like, okay, so what are you doing? What are your boundaries? What kind of man are you attracting? So I had to even change my tastes. And like I was told from very young, from very young, change your taste, Jasmine. But I like the type of guy. I like the guy, you know, but that type of guy comes with, you know, certain baggage. And everyone's got their own demons and own things that they're, you know, overcoming. But we have to be very mindful as women, the kind of men that we allow into our lives and into our space, who we connect ourselves with, because it is a connection.
So this is it.
A bit of that.
I think sometimes we go into relationships and although we see ourselves as two separate people, there's a lot which you're, like you said, you're attracting and drawing in from the other person subconsciously. You have no idea that whether it's certain character traits or certain habits that you start picking up.
I've seen that happen.
And it's so important to be aware of who your partner is.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm glad you touched on it. In schools, we don't really talk about relationships. I mean, we do, what, sex education? Did we even? I can't remember if I even did that.
I feel like if it was minimal. In terms of like the real lessons that I feel like it's important to educate the younger generation, the youth about, they're just not getting that. It's like you learn the hard way.
Almost
you learn
every
from
time.
Experiences. But that's kind of just how life is. A lot of the lessons you learn in life are because you've experienced something. Can you either repeat the cycle or you try and learn from the mistake and you choose a different route?
It's so, so true. How do you think society has impacted how we view relationships? I know we're in an era of what, social media and YouTube, everything to do with let's show people what I'm doing. How do you think that's impacting, do you think, the younger generation?
I think it's
or our own, really,
a really unrealistic expectation on what relationships will be like, especially for young people. For myself personally, when I was young, my main goal in life was to be a housewife. Like that was what I wanted to do, and not because like I just wanted to be taking care of a man and sit home and do not because of that, but because I generally love kids anyway, so I wanted to be like a mother but also take care of my husband, and that was my main goal. Obviously I still want that don't get it twisted, but that was like, I wouldn't mind if that was all I had to life, that was it, just my husband and my kids. And that was because I feel like I grew up watching so many films and just songs, especially I love early 2000 music, 90 music, and that music is really about love and like
almost
all
every
of that
song.
Kind of stuff. And even so nowadays with Instagram and everyone's always, if you're in a relationship, it's like you got to take these couple goals pictures, you got to be matching, you've got to do this and that, vacation, all this and that. Pressure. And it's just like, it's pressure, it's crazy pressure. And it can make, I feel like women especially feel like, let's say they're not good enough if they don't have that man there, if they don't have, you know, someone that they're always talking to or different things and that this and that. And it generally wasn't until I would say the past year or even the past few months, because while we've been through this whole pandemic, I've really, really invested in myself. And like, I've just had to force myself to really look at my current situation in life and see where I wanted to go, where I was mentally. And it's just from experiencing all of that, I've really grown a lot. And I can say I generally don't strive for love now. I'm starting to realize that love doesn't just come from a man. It comes from your family. It comes from your friends. It comes from how you treat people and how they treat you back and stuff like that. And I do feel like partly the reason, I feel like it is social media, but for some girls like me, let's say, it does stem from not having my father there, because I didn't grow up with that love from a man. I've always kind of been searching for it in other places and other people. And especially if those men are not necessarily treating you right as well and can be toxic, it's like it doesn't really help and set a good foundation for how you feel about yourself. And especially coming from young, those are kind of mentalities that I wanted to get rid of and really learn who I was and what makes me unique, what makes me special. And that's when I feel like I definitely have more love for myself and definitely more love to give people as well.
And it's good. I'm glad that you feel like you've transitioned, because again, these issues that we're speaking on, a lot of people, when they deal with it, or not even deal with it, should I say, when they go through it, it stops there.
Yeah.
But it's always so encouraging and just positive to hear when someone's going through it and they're like, yeah, and then I decided to, you know, shift my mindset.
I've been able
or
to
then,
overcome, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I decided to leave that place, or I decided to just be done with that relationship. And it's just getting people to the stage where it's like, you can actually just let go and say, do you know what? I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm done feeling like this. And it's, yeah, it's a journey, but it's doable. I feel like sometimes
very
when you hear
doable.
Other people's stories.
Very, very doable.
Definitely. How would you guys say society, going back to body image, how would you say society has impacted body image for you guys? Jasmine, I'll start with you. I know you guys did your Westfields pop-up.
Yes,
I wish I was there.
Yes. It was lit. It was
I mean,
lit.
The music, bashment, that's
a
bit, I mean.
Wind up your waistline, girl.
It was lit.
How do you feel like, I mean, obviously there's probably people coming up to you, maybe having a chat and speaking to you. How do you think the topic of body image is right now in society, in social media? What do you think the energy
is? I feel like
is?
it's a big topic, especially a recent, like, a lot of women pushing this body positivity.
Yeah.
Like, yo, just come and own it. Like,
yeah.
And that's one thing, one of the phrases that I live by. I'm like, own it.
Yeah.
Like, although, like, I'm still on my weight loss journey. I've lost a lot of weight. It's like, the bulge, whatever, the mum tum, own it. Like,
yeah.
You're not gonna look like everyone on social media. And more time, what we're seeing on social media is all edited, airbrushed, photoshopped, and everything anyway.
Angles.
So, yeah. It's like just you accepting your body, yeah, having that acceptance and embracing it and just owning it.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and just being free and happy. And if you want to work on something like me, I want to work on my nyash, okay? Like, all the time I'm like touching Naila's bum. I'm like, whoa, I need one of these. But it's like, I'm happy within my body.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've accepted it. And if I want to change something, if I want to tone up my arms and get some nice definition, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you have the, you are entitled to, you know, This body is our temple, and if you want to mold something or you want to, you know, whatever you want to do, run with it and just own it. Like,
I think society has definitely made it a little bit hard, in particular, like social media, in terms of embracing your body. Especially for me, I had to actually make the conscious effort to unfollow a lot of influencers and, like, you know, the girls with the surgery bodies and this, that kind of stuff. Because I felt like if every time I'm going on my timeline, that's all I'm seeing. And even that is an unrealistic body type, because they've had it chopped and sliced and all of that
unnatural.
To get what they look like.
Yeah.
So to feed my mind and my eyes that all the time I go on Instagram is like, well, of course I'm not going to feel good about myself, because
mentally
I'm just mentally it's powerful. You got to be careful of what you consume on social media. So it's like I had to actually start unfollowing influencers, not because of anything they're doing wrong, but just because I feel like for my own mental health and just positive self-esteem and self-love for myself, I just had to just stop entertaining that kind of stuff, because I feel like I'd rather follow fitness people who are promoting workouts and motivational pages
line
and that kind of stuff that is in line with my purpose and my vision, rather than looking at that. Otherwise, I am going to start to feel like, you know what, my body isn't too great, and I should work on this, and I should get rid of that and this and that. And I just thought, I don't have time for that. I don't think women should compare themselves to each other, because everyone is different. Everyone has their own body type. Like, everyone's just so unique, so you can't look at someone else, especially in terms of the way people can perceive themselves on social media, and it's based off angles and getting good pictures and stuff like that. Even how they look might not even be the true reality of how they look, but they've just caught a good angle. But now I'm allowing that picture to make myself feel insecure about myself, and it's just like, when I started realizing that, I just said, nah, I've got to just stay focused on me and be happy for me, and also make other people feel happy about themselves.
And you touched on a good point, because I think sometimes when we're scrolling, we're just like, you know, oh, that's nice, this is nice, oh gosh, that looks good, But you don't realise your mind is processing every single image.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone on Instagram and scrolling and all of a sudden I feel like I need like 3 new outfits, 5 new wigs. I need like 5 new wigs. I need to get my nails done. I need to go here and do this. And it's just like, you really are like...
Yeah, soaking it.
Soaking it all in.
My PLT basket constantly has things in it from me seeing, okay, I need to get
literally, especially if they start tagging the outfits, like, oh yeah, really good. I need to do some shopping now. And it's like,
and you don't even realize it's like a constant cycle. But I was going to touch on, you guys obviously have both gone through a type of weight journey. What sparked that for both of you? Jasmine, I'll start with you. What sparked your, because you said you're on a weight loss journey, what was it that made you go, right, now I feel like I want to go on this journey?
Do you know what it was? I think it was around the similar season of when I started doing the whole affirmations and accepting myself as a beautiful woman. I went through, like, I was in a relationship with, and when I broke up with him, I was just really like stressed. Like, you know, sometimes this, you just get there, like, just acting like an idiot, but this idiot, why? And then I lost bare weight. Like, I was stressed over man. And then I lost weight and I said, damn, you look good. So I literally, it was like accidental. Like, but then when I started to become more conscious of the food that I was eating. And just like, because I used to eat really bad. Like, I still have my little moments where I'm like, oh, give me the chocolate. But it's like, I started then, just like I said, being more conscious and mindful to what I'm putting into my body. Started drinking smoothies and juices and having salads and stuff like that. And it was like, do you know what? Like, I like the way that I look. I like that. I've never seen my body like this. I've always, from a child, I was chubby.
A bit big,
do you know what I mean? So, yeah. And then obviously I had another baby, so my weight fluctuated. And then just... that constant journey and just,
So you would say there's a few things that affected it, but in your mind you knew anyway, right, I want to be on a journey of
And like I said,
bettering.
Even with like my leg and movement, so it was like, okay, there was the weight loss aspect, the flexibility, and even like for my children, like being a mother, like my 2-year-old literally gets to her resistance bands and starts like doing resistance bands. My 8-year-old is literally like, mommy, I want to go for a jog, I want to go on a trampoline. So for me as well, it's about sowing them positive seeds into my children as well. Because if we look at, you know, statistics, even in just the UK, like obesity and just the health problems that can be related to certain things, it's like, if you're working out and you're, you know, just being that bit, you know, it's gonna help you just balance out your lifestyle and just that health, and even mentally, you know, a lot of what we're putting into our bodies affects our brain health, gut health. Gut health and brain health is all fully connected. Linked. So if we're being mindful and choosing to put goodness into us, you know what I mean? It's all around of getting that balance.
So true. I definitely agree with you. And I like the fact that you said, obviously, you've got daughters yourself. So you know they're watching you this whole time.
They watch me too much.
You know, and they pick up little things. And going back to you, Naila, you're working with young kids as well. So the things you instill from a young age can just completely change their journey as well. It's really, really important, I guess, to just see ourselves as an example at all times, as some kind of leader at all times. You know, our influence can just rocket and we don't even realize who we're influencing.
Literally.
So it's really, really important. And it's powerful that you guys are doing what you do. I guess I'd have to ask then, how do you feel as though, if someone's dealing with a lack of self-confidence and feeling like they don't really have much self-worth, what would be some of the things you would get them to start doing, I guess, in relation to trying to build that up?
I would say writing is good. Writing your feelings is very important. It's like a healing process. And you need to be aware of how you feel in the present so that when you move forward, you can look back and you can say, wow, I really was in this space mentally and now I can't even relate. I don't even recognize that person anymore. So writing, videos, like just taking certain stuff, even pictures if you're trying to take care of your body more, lose weight, gain weight, tone up, whatever, take pictures, because all of this is like little reminders of how far you will go. And it's just a way to look back and be like, wow, okay, I really came that far. So definitely writing. I'd also say for me, picking up a hobby, find something you love to do, find something that brings you happiness, something that you can do for enjoyment. For me, this year especially, it's been dancing, because as I said, I used to go to dance school. So being able to just dance around in my room and even incorporate fitness with dance has been like mind-blowing for me. And the fact that people are actually interested, I'm like, listen, this is lit, because like I'd be doing my workouts and I just be breaking out dancing and it's not even intentional, but that's burning calories. Like dancing is fitness. You're moving, you're active. Anything that keeps you moving burns like calories and will help you towards your fitness goals. So finding a hobby, whether that's swimming, dancing, cycling, I've taken up cycling again, writing, singing, anything that you just do that will make you feel good and express yourself. I feel like people have so much inside of them, but because they don't explore those things inside of them, they don't even know their potential. They don't know. And I feel like, again, this is not what schools teach us. It's kind of like we're just told to focus on one thing. Find your career path, focus on that, do what you, and then just get there, and then repeat, 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 repeat. And it's like, no, you can do so many things in this world. There's so many opportunities. And just take the time to know who you are and explore them and see where it can really take you. Because as I said, doing this fitness thing for me, I didn't wake up like, I want to be a personal trainer. That was never the goal. That was never what it was. But as I kept going on the journey and I genuinely loved how it made me feel inside and outside, it was like, all right, cool. I'm going to actually do this because I want other women and other people, but in particularly women, I want other women to feel this feeling, to know the mental strength that comes with fitness and being able to set yourself goals and actually achieve them. So, yeah.
I would agree with you. And yourself, what would you say, Jasmine, in regards to someone dealing with lack of self-worth?
Lack of self. I'm going to come on a different type of approach now, like completely flip it, I would say, just, we touched on it a little bit, but I want to touch on it again. The people that you're around, because you can do all this investment into yourself. You can water yourself. You can really take that time out to put time into yourself, get to know yourself, all of that. But if you are still connected to, you know, people that, you know, aren't really rooting for you, don't want to see you excel on your journey, don't actually have the right intentions for you and truly love you and want to see you do well, it can keep you very stagnant. So in your confidence journey, in your self-love journey, in your fueling yourself, look and see who's really around you and just open your eyes. And I always say, like, I pray for discernment and wisdom. Because the people that are around, you have to, it needs to be alignment, because I've seen it even in my life that I'm trying to excel, but there's people that you're not actually meant to be in the next season of my life. So you got to be very, look at the times and the season, look where you're at, and write stuff down. Literally write out your vision, write out how you're feeling, like what Naila said.
A vision board as
well. Yeah, do your vision board, write it, because from you write it, there's certain things that I've written and it may not even manifest for 3 years. I may not even see this certain for 3 years, but I've written it down and I believe that whatever I've written there is going to happen in the right season. So, just be mindful, look around, see who's around you, who's fueling you and who's keeping you stagnant, and then distance yourself from the stagnant.
I definitely had to do that. I feel like when I wanted to really grow and I decided that, you know what, I'm tired of being in this place. I really want to excel and just go forth in life. I generally had to look at the people that I was surrounding with and just think, are you helping me grow? Are you watering me? Or are you kind of delaying my success a little bit? So
elevation,
it's definitely
requires
important to be to have people that aligns with you as well.
This is it. 100% agree with you guys. This has been great. I think the only last question I could ask you is, what's next? Because, you know, we're all watching your social media now. We need to know what's coming next. Is there anything that we'll be looking out for individually, together? What's going on?
Individually, I'm going to be doing my own dance classes. I really want to push, like, bringing women together to kind of do fit things. So yeah. I want to even start organizing sports days and just dance classes, boot camps, all of that stuff that is really to empower women and also encourage take care of yourself, invest in your fitness, and just make sure you're healthy, make sure you keep healthy and fit. So that I'm if you keep an eye out on my social medias at Naila Riley, you will see all of that coming. Definitely more content, more fitness content as well. Mm. Also more in the entertainment side as well. Because I have a lit personality.
We know.
I have a lit personality, but I feel like I don't show it enough in terms of all my social medias. So I'm pushing to really let the world know who Naila Riley is. By the end of 2021, if you don't know, you're gonna know.
Come
you're
on. Know. Come on. I'm looking forward to that. Thank what you. About you, Jazz? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm currently working on my community interest company.
Wicked.
So I'm going to be launching a new project called The Glow Project. Mm. yes. Hashtag because we are created to grow and glow.
Come on.
So glowing, this is a project that I'm going to be facilitating in the community around London. Literally just offering holistic therapy for like adults and vulnerable people who have been through domestic abuse. I'm going to be doing self-love and confidence building classes, workshops with people.
This is what we need, and, man.
We do need more of that.
And then just as a collective as well, we want to just keep building the bars, our profiles. We've got stuff in store, but we're building silence. We have to keep it hush hush.
I don't blame you. Go for it. We're all waiting anyway.
But
so
just know when you see me and Jasmine together, know that we're definitely here for just we're bringing the good vibes, the good energy, the positivity, women empowerment,
organically as well. Organic. This is it. You know,
this is it. Thank you guys, man.
Honestly, thank you for having us.
I have enjoyed this conversation so
refreshing. It's nice to have conversations of substance. It's nice to have that.
This is it. It's honestly, anyone who's watching this, it has been full of gems. I've learned so much. Well, one about you guys, but just in general about life and just exploring the journeys that people go through can have a massive impact on how you then view your life. So it's been really, really fulfilling for me to just be part of the conversation. And again, that's why we wanted you on the podcast. So I'm so happy. Those of you that are watching, I hope you guys have enjoyed it as well. I've been your host, Renee, another I Am Beautiful Talks, and we have been with Naila Riley and Jasmine the Butterfly. So stay tuned, guys, and thank you again, everyone, for watching.
Thank you.